We're celebrating our 70th year with this assembly. When I was 12 years old, I went to one of the camps after we met Gus. He had his boys' club. And Al and I were able to go to camp. It was $7 a week. Can you imagine $7 a week? It's $7 a minute now. I couldn't go. As many of you know, my mother was an alcoholic. We lived on 35th and street near Lisbon, and she couldn't send me. We didn't have the $7. Now, Al worked, and Al always gave me the digs. He said, "I'm going to camp, and you're not going. I'm going to camp, and you're not going." Well, my sister Beth was 16, and she was a very attractive girl. She was going with a guy. And the guy secretly came to the family and told my mother, "I'm going to put up the $7. Here it is." Now he's giving $7 to an alcoholic. Now my mother, whenever she got any money, was right into booze. But she didn't do that. You see the hand of God. But she let me suffer the whole night crying because I couldn't go the next morning with Al. We didn't have any suitcases. She just put the things in a box and put a rope around it, and that was our suitcase. Well, the next morning came, and I noticed two boxes and two ropes. So I said, "What's that?" She said, took the money, she said, "I saved this. Here's $7. You're going to camp." So we went to camp, Al and I. And it's there I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trusted in the Lord Jesus on the 10th of July, 1945, at 11 o'clock at night. Why is that so important to me? The greatest event of my life happened that night when I trusted in the Lord Jesus. Now notice my language. I said I trusted in the Lord Jesus. I've been that way all my life. I'll sometimes refer to the Lord Jesus as Jesus, and it's perfectly legitimate. That's fine and dandy. But I've always wanted to call him the Lord Jesus, sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember the night I came to Christ as my Savior. John Clift was there, and he was one of the speakers and one of the camp director. And it was in Minnesota, little camp among the hills. And the night I trusted Christ, I was very burdened. I'd heard the word saved and all that. I didn't know any of those terms. Didn't know anything. But I knew I was a sinner. And I knew I needed something. And so that night, he was tucking the boys in. It was a late thing. We were out in the hills, and so we were all tired. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and he's tucking all the boys in. And I called him over. "John, what is it, Bobby? What do you want?" "I want to be saved." I didn't even know what I was asking. I wasn't sure what that meant, but I'd heard it. Oh, he said, "Wonderful." So he opened his Bible to John 3:16. And I'm 12 years old. I have no knowledge of the Word of God. And he read to me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And when I heard the word perish, because I'd asked my dad, "Dad, what's going to happen to me after I die?" I had that obsession with what would happen to me after I lived this life and was no more. He had no answers. My dad is, after my salvation, 15 years later, he trusted Christ too, but at the time he didn't know anything. Now, the reason I'm going to make this point is I just wanted to show you what a 12-year-old, how he addressed God. Where this came from, I'll never know. But after he explained that I needed to trust the Lord Jesus personally, put my name in the verse, you've heard that done, "For God so loved Bobby, that if Bobby believes, Bobby will not perish, Bobby will have everlasting life." I said, "That's what I want. That's what I want. What do I have to do? He said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray out loud, and I want you to pray out loud. What? Pray whatever comes to your heart. And he said, and he talked to the Lord God. He said, I want to introduce you, Lord, to Bobby. Your turn. I'd never prayed before in my life. And here's what I prayed. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me. I didn't know if that was enough. Well, John was really, really touched. And he said, on the authority of God's word, Bobby, I believe you've just become a Christian. I have. Yeah! I was so happy. But my dad said, I'll let you guys go to this camp, but whatever I want, I don't want you to come back. Tell me you're saved. Don't come back and say that you're saved. Do not do that. Run into the house, see my dad. I said, Now it's funny how the Lord works in a wonderful way. That week, I went to see my friend Jimmy. And I said, we were playing. The war still was on in Japan. It was over in Europe. We were still in the foxholes. 12-year-olds in those days were different than they are now. We had none of the gadget, none of that. We had just a big imagination, and we were saving the country. And while we were in the foxhole, I said, Jimmy, would you like to be saved? What do you mean? And I only knew one verse of scripture, John 3:16. And I quoted it to him. I said, listen, God so loved you, Jimmy, that if you, Jimmy, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I want that. I said, I'll pray first. That's all I knew. I'll introduce you to the Savior. Pray out loud. You've got to pray out loud. Okay. And Jimmy trusted Christ as his Savior. I just became a new believer. So I went to Gus. And I said to Gus, what more is there in this Christian life? What do I have to do? We'll come to Sunday school. We'll learn Bible verses. And we learned hundreds of Bible verses. And Gus said to me, you know, Bobby, you'll want to be baptized. Yeah, what is that? What's baptism? Well, you identify with the Lord Jesus. That has nothing to do with your salvation. You cannot be saved. You already are saved, right? Right. So baptism doesn't add to your salvation, doesn't wash away your sins. Only the blood of Christ washes away sin. Oh, okay. Okay. What you want to do is you want to make a statement about your faith. Your identity with the Lord Jesus. I said, that's what I want to do. So some of you here today may not be baptized for whatever reason. But it's a wonderful step of obedience to the Lord that you love. And after all, Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew, the end of Matthew, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of many nations, baptizing them. And now notice this, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's God. Why wouldn't you want to make a statement about your relationship to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? And you make that statement because you are a believer, and you go into those waters, and you die to your foolishness and your sin in your old life, and you're raised to live a life glorious to Him. Now, the baptism doesn't do that. It reminds you that this is what the Christian life is all about. And so you gladly take that step to be identified with the Christ that you love. Now, those of you here today who aren't baptized. Think about it. So I said, where do we get baptized? He said, well, we're going to the YMCA, and there's a big pool there, and we're going to be baptized in the pool. I don't know how to swim. Well, you don't have to worry about that. The man will come to you, and he'll baptize you, and he'll ask you about your faith, and give a little testimony about what happened to you, and then we'll baptize you, and you'll go in under the waters, and you'll be raised as a symbol of this new life you have in Christ. Well, so there were eight of us. I was all excited. My parents didn't come. I wanted to, you want to announce this publicly, your faith in Christ. But nevertheless, I was so glad, I was so privileged. I wanted to be with the people of God, and I wanted to be obedient to the Lord Jesus, and I was 14 years old. And so I had walked with the Lord for 2 years, and it was so gracious and so wonderful. Why not? I want to make this statement. So I told my parents, I'm going to go and be baptized. It's meaningful, it's necessary, and it's wonderful. Now I want to thank those four people who are going to be baptized next week. Maybe there's others. Don't hesitate. Go to the elders. You're going to have classes. They're going to talk to you about baptism. Remember, it has nothing to do with your salvation. It's making a statement of faith publicly in the Lord Jesus. Well, I felt pretty good. So I went to Gus. And I said, is there anything more? Now, I don't know where this was coming from. My folks didn't believe in God, really. They practiced nothing. Where was this excitement? Where was this, what more is there? Where was that coming from? We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. I'm just a kid. And yet I wanted more. Yes, I believe that Jesus was my personal Savior. Yes, I obeyed the waters of baptism. But I wanted more. And God said, we have a worship service. Maybe you'd like to attend that. I said, oh, yes, yes. Why not? So I went to my first breaking of bread meeting. Oh, what was so precious to me. To hear all that singing and hear those men praying and breaking the bread. And they even introduced me. 14 years old. We're so glad today to have our young brother, we call him Bobby, but Robert Thrall, in our midst to break bread with us. He was just recently baptized. He loves the Lord and blah, 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 blah. You know, I sat in that meeting and my heart began to pound. I wanted to say something. I wanted to say something to the Lord I loved. I wasn't sure. I don't know why I wanted, but that first breaking of bread, I said, no. People might, I don't know what they're going to think. You can't say anything. You can't say anything. So I went to Gus. I always went to Gus. And I said, Gus, I know I'm just a kid, but would it be all right if I said something? Well, you want to say something? Yes. Sure. If you're led of the Spirit, go ahead, say something. Say something. Now remember when I was saved, I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. So I went to the second breaking of bread meeting. And I sat there and I just couldn't. They sang. I was so pumped up. I jumped to my feet. And I said these words. And I've never improved on this statement ever in a breaking of bread meeting in all the years I've been breaking bread. This is what I said. Lord Jesus, I love you. Sat down. And all of a sudden, people began crying. People were, I couldn't believe it. And they came up to me and there were tears in people's eyes. A 14-year-old boy standing up in the breaking of bread and saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. Well, a few years went by. I went to some more camps, and I'm 17 years old. This time I'm in Upper Michigan. And there's a camp. No, the one in Minnesota was the Medicine Lake Bible Camp. This one in Upper Michigan was the Upper Peninsula Bible Camp. And it was a missionary from the Congo. And he was speaking about becoming a missionary. And I was so burdened. I went into the woods for 3 hours, just thinking about the Lord. And finally I said, now notice this is the trilogy of thought. I was on my knees and I was looking up to heaven. I said, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, save me. It wasn't until many years later that he did. So I have a history with this wonderful group of people in this chapel, in this fellowship. And I want to thank you for all your prayers and for all your gifts and for the beautiful time we had this week with many families and the intimate time I've had with several of you in prayer and thanksgiving. You know, it's a real strength to our ministry to know that you're behind us. And many of you are thinking of us. Many of you are praying for us. And so we thank the Lord for the 70 years. Now, the reason I say this, I know my brother Al has been with the assemblies, out of the assemblies, back to the assemblies, and Brother Bill has been associated with this chapel, but I'm the one thrall that through it all stuck it out. Stayed with the assemblies, stayed with this meeting. And do you realize how many years you've been supporting us? 55 years you've been supporting us in your prayers and your gifts. Praise God. Let's go to the text now. If you're a visitor today, we welcome you. If you're someone who's come to this chapel and Family Bible or and listen to the ministry, you're welcome. If you love the Lord Jesus, of course you're welcome. Now the Lord Jesus speaks of himself in this beautiful passage that was read for us already. He has something he wants to say to you. If you know him not, if you're still in your sins, you don't really quite understand what life is doing to you, for you, what it can be. If you're a very well-educated person, you've read a lot, you've seen, you've made comparisons of all kinds of ideas, I want you to listen. If you're a person who's very wise and thoughtful, maybe you haven't the same educational credentials, it doesn't make any difference. Great or small, simple or complex, God loves you. He loves you for who you are. He accepts you for who you are. This God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That means a great deal to the Father to have given his Son as the Savior of sinners, the Savior of those who are heavy laden. And so the Lord Jesus makes a very, very, very important statement. You want salvation? You want sins forgiven? Then listen carefully to the words of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're living in a day when there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of mistrust, a lot of tragedy, a lot of natural disasters. There are many young people that are disillusioned. Think of Robin Williams, successful comedian, an actor, suffering from bipolarism. When we read that he hung himself, we were shocked. There's no hope. There's sometimes the burden is so great we can't bear it. There's a restlessness. There's an ache in the heart of many people in North America, around the world. They don't seem to have the answers. Or you might seem despairing or discouraged or wondering. We have a wonderful God. Maybe you don't realize this. You might not be seeking God. Well, as a boy of 12, I wasn't seeking God. But he's seeking you. This God, this Father who gave his Son, wants you to be his child. He wants you to come out of the chaos and bring order to your life. He wants to bring beauty and grace and expressions of worship into your life. But you have to come. Some of us think about these things and say, you know, someday I'm going to think about, someday I'm going, no, don't make it someday. You're here this morning. There's a reason why you're here today. God wants you to be here today. Huh? He's concerned. He knows about your life. He knows where you're going, where you're heading, how you feel, what your attitude is, what your mindset is. He knows all about you. But this God is a loving God. And he makes an invitation. He asks you to come. Come to me. Now he wants you to put aside any rigidity that you have, any form of thoughts that you've made and created to try to be a good person or a better human being or a good citizen. He wants you to set those aside for now. He wants you to think about what's bothering you. What's the burden you're bearing? He wants to ease your pain. He wants to give you relief. He wants to give you rest. A lot of people have trouble sleeping. A lot of people have trouble with anxiety. They don't realize it's sin that's keeping us in this state of turmoil and distress. It's sin that's robbing us of the dignity of being alive. But this Lord Jesus sees this. He knows this. And he says, if you want rest, you must come to me. Not to anyone else. Not to any other religious figure. All religions don't help. The only rest you'll ever find for your soul is the forgiveness that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for your sins. He paid the price. He makes it possible to live a life of purpose and design, of grace and fullness. He does it at his own expense. But he wants to make it clear now, very clear. The only place you'll find this rest or this peace with God is to come to him. Come to me. There are people who say, I don't need that crutch. I am the captain of my own life. I don't need religion. I don't need anyone else. I am who I am. I made myself who I am. And yet they go through stress, frustrations, behaviors that are ungodly, even though they won't admit it. And there's no rest deep within their souls. But if you respond, if you change your attitude, if you say, I'm in need, I'm in need. I had that need as a boy. I didn't understand all of that meant, but I knew that I was unhappy. I knew that I didn't want to die. I didn't want to leave this life because there would be nothing for me. There would be an emptiness, a hollowness. But it's worse than that. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So it's not sufficient to say, all right, I'll live this life the best I can, I'll die, and I'll be forgotten. Yeah, that's the easy way out. That's not what's going to happen. You can live this life and you reject God, or you live in indifference, then you're going to face judgment. And the sad part is, all the burdens, all the heavy ladenness of life will be multiplied in eternal terms forever. What? Oh, we like to think of the positive side of the gospel, that if you do trust in the Lord Jesus, there will be rest forever. There will be peace forever. There will be fellowship forever. There will be beauty forever. There will be ecstasy forever. Go on. Add all the nouns or whatever to that. But if you're facing stress, anxiety because of your own sin, then you will come to Christ like I did as a boy and cry out unto him. You may not use the words I used, but they'll mean the same thing. Lord Jesus, I'm the sinner. It says in the Word of God, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Does that define you? If it does, pray. You've realized that you are heavy laden, that you are being weighed down in this life, and you feel the weight of your own sin, but you try to cover it. You cover it with work. You cover it with money. You cover it with intellectual delights, sexual endeavors. You cover that ache, that burden, that emptiness. The answer is in the person of Christ. The gospel says that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose on the third day. And that's the gospel. He died for our sins. Not our mistakes, our sins. And our sins will condemn us forever. But there has to be a sense of guilt. We have to take responsibility for our acts. And once we acknowledge that we are without hope and without God, then we'll understand the meaning of this first verse 28. Then we will go to Him. Oh, that's the wonder of God's grace and God's love. That the Lord Jesus is able to save us to the lost people of the world. Because He has a remedy, and it's a good remedy, it's a lasting remedy, it lasts forever, and we are changed by his grace and power and work at the cross. So he can say this. And I'm so glad he says it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. If that describes you, you have the right this morning to confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have the right to come to Him, the Savior of sinners. Then this verse will have meaning to you. Come to me, all you and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, what you say. I don't know. I have friends. I was dealing with a college student when I was at the University of Wisconsin. He was with a fraternity, very tied to the fraternity. They had certain laws and bylaws. And I was witnessing to him, and for several days he listened to the message of the gospel. And he said to me, "You know, Bob, it makes sense what you're saying. But I don't want to lose my membership in the fraternity. I mean, they'll think I'm an idiot to trust in Christ like you say. I can't do it." I felt very sad. He didn't do it. He had a decision. He could come to the one who gives salvation freely to everyone who asks, everyone who comes, but he rejected it. He rejected it. Today, God's speaking to your heart. Open your heart to Him. Open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Say, "Yes, that's what I want. You're the one who provides salvation. You're the one who gives rest. You're the one who'll change my life." And then when you trust Him, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Compare that to the burden of sin, devastation, judgment. Why don't you make that decision today? Why don't you just bow your head? Let's all pray for a moment. Every head bowed. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here today would like to trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Would you raise your hand? Anyone today here that would like to trust in the Lord Jesus as Savior? You know your heart. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to appreciate what it means to be a child of God. You will help those who are struggling with that decision to trust Jesus Christ alone as Savior and Lord. We thank you for His invitation. We thank you for this time together. And we give our thanks to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.